The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Howard, I'm feeling very relieved today.
Why?
Because there's been an official notification from a group of Israeli plastic surgeons who've made this very, very important announcement to the public, which says that wearing of face masks does not cause your ears to protrude.
I saw that. I also was relieved. Because I caught sight of myself yesterday as I was getting into the car. When I leave studio, I put on my mask, walk through the building, and I get into my car. And then I caught sight of myself, and I honestly looked like Dumbo. No, it wasn't pretty, Zanati.
Well,
and then I thought this could cause permanent damage.
I don't know if this applies specifically to you, but this is a general announcement. Apparently, when you wear those face masks, you know, with the rubber band or whatever it is behind your ears, that your ears apparently cannot be permanently affected by this, because they claim that the development of the ear canal stops at the age of 6, and therefore there's absolutely no reason for anything external to change the structure of the ear. But for people who are concerned about this, they suggest that you wear a bandana type mask if that's better for you. Mm. But apparently there's another issue that people are worried about with the wearing of face masks, and that is tan lines. People are concerned that they're going to be getting, I mean, who would have thought? Apparently there is, in all seriousness, quite a lot of research going into how people are affected by wearing masks. Apparently people are suffering with headaches and all kinds of side effects from wearing face masks. And apparently the N95 mask, which is supposed to be the most secure, is also the one that limits breathing to a greater degree and therefore might be more commonly associated with headaches. So this is now a whole new thing. The investigation into the wearing of face masks and, of course, fashion.
Well, I was just going to say, Anthony, something you and I are probably least qualified to speak about, but I've been seeing a whole lot of articles and tips about how to do your eye makeup because when you wear a mask, and Kate apparently,
Kate Middleton.
Yes, she is very, very ahead of her time.
Oh, yes, okay.
And she's the person to follow
when
it comes to eye makeup and a mask at the same
time. Oh, okay. Well, I should definitely follow her.
Yeah, you see, Zanati, the things
Thank you for the plug.
You see, this is not just the Israel Report. I mean, we cover everything.
And the last thing that we would want is our mascara running onto our face mask, right?
Exactly. That staining is just ugly. All right. And also ugly, what's going on in Lebanon. The entire cabinet has resigned. Wow.
And I suppose it doesn't come as a huge surprise to me, because as we discussed yesterday, I sense that there is a sea change taking place in Lebanon at the moment. So, of course, Prime Minister Hassan Diab yesterday announced that he and his entire cabinet are stepping down. The president of Lebanon seemed to have absolutely no hesitation in accepting the resignation of the entire government. They will remain in place at least until such time as a new government can be elected to replace them. And it's not clear to me how that's going to happen, because Lebanon is in absolutely no state to have to go through a general election right now. So this is a very, very significant issue that the Lebanese having to deal with. President Michel Aoun obviously is having to take very, very firm control over things with what's going on there. A lot of public unrest, a lot of conspiracy theories that have been coming out of the woodwork about exactly what caused this explosion, reports of a lot more flammable material that's being held in that port area, lots and lots more stories coming out, underground tunnel stories into the port area. I'm not sure how much of that we really want to believe, but what we do know is that Lebanon is in a state of chaos at the moment with the government's resignation. It's interesting that the Israeli government announced that they are pulling troops away from the northern border, because all of this and the lack of stability within Lebanon is giving Israel a sense of greater stability on the border. And whereas there was this increased tension only about a week or two ago with attempts by Hezbollah to cross the border and terror cells trying to infiltrate Israel, all of that now seems to have just disappeared in a heartbeat with this explosion that's taken place, that took place in Beirut last week. And Hezbollah seemed to have suddenly disappeared from the scene, at least for now. So from an Israeli point of view, a great deal more stability on the northern border as a result of the huge instability within Lebanon internally.
Yeah, really, really interesting to see what's going to happen and what's going to come out of it, because I see that Reuters this morning, their lead headline was that the government had been warned about the stockpile and they had been warned about the damage that it could do. And Zanati and I were saying it'll be interesting to see if criminal charges follow, it can follow this event.
Certainly. I mean, I think that negligence is a word that's being bandied about a lot, and I think with good cause. I think there is negligence here. It's hard to know whether we really will get down to the bottom of the story as to whether it was just pure negligence with people ignoring the threat, or whether there was something more to it. Inevitably, with government decisions, there are always interests at play. And the interesting thing for me is going to be to discover whether there were, in fact, interests involved in this particular stockpile of the ammonium nitrate that exploded. So I don't know that we're ever going to get to the bottom of the story, but it certainly is causing a massive change within the structure of Middle Eastern politics. And in particular, it's going to be interesting to see whether Iran's influence within Lebanon is weakened as a result of these events.
Yeah, indeed. And certainly that's also come to the fore with the people of Lebanon being very clear that they no longer want Iran involved in their lives. So it's brought a lot of things to the surface, which is interesting. A potential compromise has been offered within the ruling coalition that may save Israel from another election this year. What is the compromise that's been offered?
Well, unfortunately, this is a story also that we discussed yesterday, where we've got this issue of the budget that needs to be passed officially at the moment, according to the law, by August the 25th, in order for this government to continue to function. And we do know that there's this disagreement over whether the budget that should be passed is a two-year budget or a one-year budget, even though the coalition agreement firmly says that the all parties who've signed up to the coalition agree that the budget that's passed should be a two-year budget. Now the Likud, with Prime Minister Netanyahu at the helm, saying that it's only appropriate to pass a one-year budget, and other members of the coalition not agreeing to this. So the proposal, the compromise proposal that's been offered, is to change the law to allow for the budget to be delayed until November. That's the compromise. And everybody seems very excited about this, because at least it will give us a government for another 2 months, at least, as the way that things are structured at the moment. So agreeing not to agree seems to be the way forward at the moment. Prime Minister Netanyahu said he will support this delay. Blue and white, Kahol Levan head Benny Gantz has said he thinks that that's a good compromise. Even Aryeh Deri from the Shas party has said that he would support such a proposal. So it seems as if, though, it's got enough support in the Knesset to pass quite easily. The problem is that, as always with these things, there's a price to pay. And the price is that for another 2 months, we will not have a budget. We've already gone through more than half of 2020 without any budget in place. And that has severe consequences, because the way that things work here is that if a budget hasn't been passed for the current financial year, then we're obliged to work on a month-to-month budget. And the budget is limited by certain rules that apply according to what the previous year's budget was. So there's been no room for any increase in expenditure, regular expenditure, because of the fact that we don't have a proper budget. And for example, the schooling system may well suffer, because there was the hope that funds would be released to the educational system and ahead of the start of the school year on the 1st of September. But if a budget isn't passed by then there will be no extra funding that will be available to be released to the education system. So unfortunately, there is a price to pay, and it seems to be quite a heavy price, at least for the man in the street in Israel. And of course, there's also this underlying issue, the so-called anti-BB bill that is being proposed by Yair Lapid, who's the head of the opposition. And he had proposed a bill to the Knesset that would effectively prevent a prime minister who's been indicted for serious crimes from forming a government. As we know at the moment, that law does not apply. Yair Lapid said that he wanted to try to propose that the Knesset pass such a law. It seems as if the Kahol Levan, Benny Gantz's party, was quite eager to support this anti-BB bill. But now, with the whole budget compromise being proposed, there seems to be the likelihood that Kahol Levan will withdraw their support for the anti-BB bill. And that if this bill is introduced to the Knesset and it fails, then it's effectively frozen for at least a period of 6 months before it can be reintroduced again. So there seems to be a lot of interests at play behind the scenes, and it's not only about the budget, but there seem to be so many other factors at play as well.
Really, really problematic and disconcerting. Israel's Supreme Court has ruled against the destruction of the home of a terrorist who murdered an IDF soldier. What was the basis for this ruling, Anthony?
So this is a story about Amit Ben Yigal, who people might recall was murdered when that concrete block was dropped on his head while his unit was involved in some activity within an Arab village, and he was killed in that particular incident. And Naftali Bennett is very, very sensitive about this case because he is the only IDF soldier to have been killed during the time that Naftali Bennett served as Minister of Defense. And so he has a certain level of sensitivity towards this particular case. And interestingly, the Supreme Court yesterday, by a decision by a majority of 2-1, decided that the instruction, that the decision to actually destroy the home of the individual who has been apprehended for murdering Amit Ben Yigal, the decision that was taken to destroy his home, this decision was challenged in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, by the majority of 2-1, has said that it's not okay to destroy this man's home. He has been apprehended. He has been brought to trial. He will serve whatever punishment is issued by the courts. He has a wife and 8 children who are living in this house, which was said to be destroyed. And the court felt that there should be no reason why his wife and 8 children, who seemingly were not involved in the murder or in anything that was associated with it, the court decided that they shouldn't be punished for events, for the actions that were taken by their wife, by their husband, and by their father. And so the court says no to this. And I think it's a very, very interesting decision because it's come under a huge amount of pressure, huge amount of attack, particularly by Naftali Bennett, but also by other government ministers, including the Prime Minister and including Benny Gantz, current Defense Minister, have all criticized the court's decision, even though Benny Gantz was cautious to say, we respect the court's decision, but we feel that this is not okay, that we should be entitled to destroy the home of this particular individual who murdered the IDF soldier. And it seems as if the government is planning actually to appeal against this Supreme Court decision. But it's interesting to know what the listeners out there feel.
Yeah, I'm just trying to what I feel, and I'm quite in support of the Supreme Court decision. I think that there is a bigger picture, and we have to look at what the point of this is. I've never felt in truth that it's a reasonable or even effective method, because if it was an effective method, it certainly maybe would have reduced these numbers of attacks, and I guess we don't know what would have happened if not for it. But to me, it just doesn't make any sense. It just seems such a random act of retribution. But I'd love your thoughts on 3-4-5.
There's a view which says that the families of these people, in the most part, do know and are involved in some of the actions that they take, and therefore the family should somehow be forced to suffer some of the consequences, even though they weren't perhaps involved in the final act, but at least knowing and potentially supporting that individual in the planning phase is supposedly, at least in some view, sufficient to justify any so-called retribution. But, you know, that's an opinion that's held in the game. I would be interested to hear what people think on this one.
The first message in says just flatten his house. So, yeah, I'd love to hear as well from our non-Jewish listeners. It would be interesting to get some perspective. Israel, as you know, has this policy of destroying the homes of a terrorist who attacks civilians or who attacks Israeli targets. And certainly not something that I've ever been comfortable with. Many people are supportive of it. In fact, it is an Israeli government policy. And I've always felt a little bit ambivalent around it. But I would love your thoughts, 34519 or 061-895-1019. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow.